one of the greatest strengths of this summer's Colo. And we found out right away on the first Friday night, and through all the Shalosh Shittuses that we had this summer, and certainly at that Tishin Tzvat, is the power of song. And as we get ready to close summer 5776, so there's no better way for us to go out and remember points of the summer, and to try to hold on to a memory that we could all build together. No greater opportunity than to do so through the medium of song. V'yatavanim shiru l'melech. There is one level of singing because we sound great together, but there's another level of singing to open up our hearts to the real melech who gave us the opportunity to be here together this summer.
Thank you.
And we know that the name of anybody, and certainly the name of our people, defines what the essence of who we are. A Yehudi is somebody who needs to give, who needs to give thanks. And there are so many people that we need to thank for such an awesome summer. Many of them we've done already, and that's the tip of the iceberg for how much Hakadosh Baruch Hu that we need to have. To the Madrichim and the Junior Madrichim and the sports staff and the tech staff, and certainly to the Rabbeim and the Rosh Yeshivas. We definitely need to, and I'm sure that everybody will handle this appropriately on Monday morning when you see your parents for the first time in a while, to thank them appropriately for giving you the summer of your life. I would say that we should thank David Cutler for everything he's done for us, but those words, the words thank you, really cut short the unimaginable effort that he's poured in to give you all the opportunities and all the great moments of the summer. And most of all, of course, Tov Lehodos Lashem. None of this happens without the Siyata Dishmaya. On some summers, it's nice to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength in the hand that he played in having our summer be so great. But on a summer when we brought 223 NCSYers, that number in and of itself is something to be thankful for. But to experience that summer, have it run as smoothly as it did and almost as flawlessly as it did in such a place like Beit Meir is nothing short of miraculous. And for that, we definitely need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the words thank you, as we said, don't really do justice. The real challenge is going to be lahagid baboker chasdecha, to say every morning, to talk about the kindnesses that Hashem does for us, that munascha balelos, and even when times might be a little bit darker, even when we might not, as Ziv so beautifully said it before, even at times when it's not going to be so easy, when the Beis Medrash is not going to be so active, when the friends around us might not be the ones who are saying, hey, let's go to davening, let's go to shir. That munascha balelos, at those times, when it's a little bit darker, to have emuna and to rise to the occasion, that's real. That's the real tov lehodos Hashem. Most of all, Rabbi Benovitz and I want to thank you for making this the most incredible summer. Yosef Barchov.
This is my second year on NC Kolo. And I'm not going to tell you I came back because I'm such a serious kid. I'm so stuck. I live in the biz all day. But I will tell you that coming back to Kolo was the best decision of my life. Pretend, let's say, your first year on Kolo this year, next year, decide not to come back. You go on Minnesota or Morasha. Like, what are you doing? Why are you going to Minnesota or Morasha, first of all? And like, you all grew, you all had a good time, why would you not come back? And it's easy, you're gonna hear all of us speak tonight, you're gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna come back next year, because it's so cool, and everyone's coming. And you're gonna go back home, and you're gonna meet your friends who are Machach, or Yad Yad, or like, Chas V'Shalom Kanfe, Suam, and you're gonna be peer pressure, they're gonna tell you like, yo, come to Morasha Misora, but no, don't go to Morasha Misora. Be strong, come to Kolel, be a leader. You know, be Ben Weinstein, lead everyone in your grade to Kolo, and just have a good time, be smart, don't be stupid, come to Kolo.
I'm sure all the speakers are going to be good, but if we could please hold the applause for real. Until the end, we have a long night ahead. Chaim Weinstein.
And when I think about Kolo and how I felt the entire time, I just feel grateful. I think about everywhere else I could have ended up. Touring the land, the holy place, not a problem. Not necessarily sitting here learning Torah, learning about life, learning about the real important things, about what I should be doing. I feel so thankful that I was able to end up here, in a place where the real values of life, things that we really need to be doing, are taught straight to us. I had a conversation earlier this summer with Kansil and Feld, gave me a visual that really kind of enlightened that Kolo. Imagine you're standing in a dark place, you're outside, you're wandering around, you don't really know where to go. Right? It's cold, you've no idea, you've no sense of direction, no idea where you're going. There's no moonlight, pitch black. And suddenly it starts raining, there's a flash of lightning, and you see the house that you're trying to get to is illuminated up on a hill far west. Sense of direction is restored, you start heading that way, but soon enough, you don't know where you're going anymore. You may have passed the house, you may have turned the wrong way, you may have hit a hill or something, and you're lost again. So NC's Y Kolo comes along as the sunlight. It's a sunlight that only lasts 6 weeks, unfortunately. It can't illuminate our way for the rest of our lives. We can do that ourselves. Kolo has showed us where we want to head, what we want to do with our lives. It's shown us the purpose and the sense of direction in the world. And for that, I'm forever grateful.
Ben Goldstein.
Program. What am I going to do? How am I supposed to get out of all this learning?
had. The Rebbe Anner spoke about tonight, maybe the reason why it was the best summer ever had a lot to do with the people who were sitting in this room. In a summer full of highlights, I'll share two of them that I had, or that only happened today. I'm sure you noticed over the course of the summer, there have been many people besides all the important heads of NCSY, you know, you that have come through the Beis Medrash, but there are a lot of guests that daven with us as well. Believe it or not, Beit Meir is a very hot vacation spot in Israel. And now is the big vacation time, so we get a lot of people in the Beis Medrash that want to join us for Minyan. And for years already, they've been astounded that young men could decide to spend their chofesh, could spend their vacation, choosing to be on a learning program. It takes them a while to figure out, like, okay, seriously, but how much do you learn during the day? Today, one of them who was sitting right in front of me commented that it's amazing how you have so many different types of Jews that are on our program. If you take a look around our Beis Medrash, and of course this is only externals and you can't really judge by externals, but nowadays it does say something about where on the spectrum we fall in terms of our religious perspective. And we have a beautiful rainbow of different perspectives on this kollel. And part of that beauty is that I know that for maybe all of you, if not most of you, you didn't even notice that such a thing existed. Everybody gelled together seamlessly under one goal of pushing for an amazing summer and figuring out what else we could do and how we could make ourselves better and where else we could grow. And it didn't matter which part of the country we were from or, you know, as Morty will tell us, which part of the world we were from. It didn't matter, am I a second year or first year, West Coast, East Coast. The only thing that mattered is we're here, lahagdil Torah la'adira, we're here to make Torah great and to make Hashem great and to make each other great. I learned another lesson today. Changing over the dining room on Shabbos is an unbelievable task. And those who have participated in that, Shabbos in and Shabbos out, have a tremendous amount of hakaras hatov to you. Today we called voluntarily for staff to help us out, to set up the dining room. And in about 6 minutes, cleaned, took apart, and reset. And the person who was responsible for that job, from the OJ perspective, so he thanked us profusely for making his day easier. And although this is not a chiddush, I'm sure we all know it, but it's eye-opening when you see it, that when we get together as a group, and when we have that band of brothers that Rabbi Benovitz was talking about tonight, so we could overcome and accomplish even the most daunting of tasks. If we have the support of each other, if we're part of that team of contributors, if we're part of that team of people who want to make things happen, who don't say, hey, wait a second, it's not part of my job description, I'm not getting paid, this is not what I do, but have the mentality of, where else could I help? And there were NCSYers in that dining room this morning helping out also, and that is noted as well. That's a hine matov umanayim, that makes for an ohel, that makes for a house. That makes for a palace that's incredibly, incredibly beautiful. There may be challenges ahead. There may be sacrifice that needs to be made ahead. But knowing that we have this family to fall back on makes everything all that much more possible.
Everybody can really be close brothers if you really try to make them brothers. others, and no one is a stranger. It's like they're all world connected because we're all Jews, and Polo is just, it's an amazing place, and it really teaches people a lot.
Jonah Tripp.
I came into Polo as Orthodox 16-year-old growing up. Lived in the same house, the same street, went to the same show, the same school my entire life. I always had an outstanding foundation of Jewish identity. My family, my friends, my school. But there was something missing. There was always one aspect of my Judaism missing. A piece of a connection to Hashem that was missing, and I never knew what it was. And I came on call this summer I was seeking for what that missing piece was. And no, that missing piece was not a leftist. It was something more than that. And one Chabura, this year we talked about tefillah, the meaning of tefillah, the meaning of God. And we summarized it as avodah shivalev, service of the heart. And that really struck me in such an amazing way, because I've always viewed tefillah, I always viewed davening as, I knew it was avodah, I knew it took the place of the korbano. This is how we connect with Hashem, this is how we serve God, this is how we ask Him for things, we praise Him for things. But that second part of that statement, shivalev, from the heart, I never really connected with that. And that's something that Kolo gave me, that I now know that tefillah should come from the heart. It should be avodah shivalev. And in my Shmoneh Esrei, every time I say the bracha of Modi Menachem Lach, I'm thanking God, I get this part that really hits me hard, that really speaks to me. And it says, V'al nesechla shebechol yom imanu, v'al nepotecha kortecha shepoet, erev v'boker v'tzarayim. And that part really hits me, because I know that one of the miracles in life, and the miracles in life are what Kolo is. The miracles in life is NCSY Kolo. Are the kids here? Are the Majer came here? That's what the miracles in life are. That's all the good things, all the wonders that Hashem does for us. It's summarized here on Kolo. You can find it here on Kolo if you look for it. All these miracles in life, that's what Kolo really taught me. To appreciate the miracles in life, and I'm thankful that I was on such a program that the miracles were everywhere. That I could really say, I'm the staff of Shibukho Yom Han, and find meaning to that, find meaning to my God when you do that.
Shmuel Ross.
So when I would say that my experience with Kolo truly began last Sukkot. I was at a Simchas Beis Shoeva for TABC. I was asking my friends, what are you going to do this summer? Some of them said Machaf, some of them said Yad Yad. Most of them said Kolo, that's just why Kolo. I was thinking to myself, what's so intriguing about Kolo that 20 or plus of my friends are choosing to do this summer? And a couple weeks later, I remember some Kolo representatives, I remember specifically E.T. Lustiger, many of you know, came in to TABC, and they said, Kolo is great, because it combines the learning aspect, the athletic aspect, the friendship aspect, and the Israel experience aspect all together in one. And I said, man, that's truly awesome. And I discussed it with my parents, eventually decided, yeah, Kolo was the place to be. And I arrived in Kolo. I remember the first day sitting in the base medrash, and Rabbi Benovitz going over all the rules, and how are we going to make it? How is somebody truly going to make it the best summer of their lives? And I was sitting there, totally exhausted, completely dehydrated, and I said, man, this is really a rough start. I can barely focus on what Rabbi Benovitz is saying, even though, as we all know, he's a really tremendous speaker. I remember just a few days in, I was getting over the exhaustion, I was getting over the dehydration, and in shir, and the chaburas, and on the courts, finally the courts started. The league started, and it started to get into a flow, and it was kind of, and I described this to a few people that I was speaking to, Kolo was kind of, in a sense, a runaway train you just couldn't catch. You knew that you know, it had a destination, it was going somewhere, and you just couldn't catch it. It was going so fast. And really the enjoying the experience of Kola, you know, it's truly, truly been inspiring. And just earlier tonight, I was walking up towards the ice cream parlor, whatever you want to call it, and I mentioned to a friend, when we get back to school and we're all, you know, it's a very much more challenging environment, it's more, in a sense, competitive, it's more difficult, how many times are we going to say, yeah, I truly wish I was back on Kola? And it's really easy to say that, and it's really easy to think about it, but as many people have come up to speak and say, what can we take back with us? And I don't really want to repeat their ideas of what we truly can take back with us. But whether it's something that we learned in Shir, an idea about something that we learned in Maseches Megillah, or something that we learned in Chaburas, or even if it was a lesson that we learned on the basketball courts through sportsmanship, or even just a random conversation that we had with the Majrifim, we can always look back on those experiences. And through the tougher times, obviously this coming school year, many of us are going to our 11th grade year, and we can only think about how horrible it's going to be. But we can think back to our experiences on Kol El, and say to ourselves, wow, you know, that conversation I had with the Madrif, or you know, that specific shir that I was trying to stay awake for, and I managed to stay awake for, maybe not all of us, but some of us, and truly think back to our Kol El experience and bring it back with us to the United States.
As Shmuel said, they'll probably pay for us as we sit here tonight together to find one moment that spoke to us, a highlight of the summer, so that when we are, wherever we are in the world over the next week or month, so that we have something to point to and something to remember by all the great times that we had. And there were definitely many. A lot of guys had awesome times in the hikes, Darja and Black Canyon. And the water park, as Rabbi Benavis mentioned, of course, Har Shlomo, can't forget that. And that other hike, the off the beaten track hike in Eilat, where Adrika meant to carry somebody out. Didn't end so well. The real Shechita, not just the Sulam Shechita, but the actual Shechita. And the blind museum and the go-karting, and there are a lot of great times that we had, scavenger hunt in Tzfat, and the kayaking and the chocolate factories, a lot of things that we could point to. I'm sure everybody's got a different moment. And I'm not going to pretend we've been together for an intense 6 weeks. I'm not going to pretend about why all that happened. Is that why shouldn't Torah be fun? Why can't somebody say that they went on a Torah program and they spent a lot of time focused on learning and that they had an awesome time? Why can't they say that they never imagined the food experience the way that it was done here? There wasn't only pizza ordered during Night Seder, but Burger's Bar racked up the miles between Mivaseret and Beit Meir also. Why can't we have amazing trips? Why can't they run the full day? Why can't mini teals be great? Why can't the sports be great? Why does just because we learn Torah and that we daven seriously, why does that mean that we have to then be locked in a box and chained down? And Torah should be awesome and Torah should be fun. And the bottom line is that's really what we came for. As great as the Tehillim were, and as great as the activities were, but the highlight of the summer, the king of the summer, was Torah. And there are so many mornings that I get up and I feel, well, I just don't want to do it today. Learn another Seder. Why is Torah important in my life? What do I get out of it? What should I be shooting for? And that's why, in their infinite wisdom, those who designed the davening put there right before we declare Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad a tefillah, for us to say, especially for those days, that Hashem help me out. That in the times when I might have a harder time a harder decision to go to the Beis Medrash, or a harder decision to make a Chavrusa, or a harder decision to do those two Mishnayos with Shai Foreman. That on those days Hashem should light up my eyes to be able to make the right decisions. V'yachid levaveinu lahavah liyireh Hashemecha. And to give our hearts a singular focus of loving the Creator of the world.
Before the summer, I was talking to a bunch of people in my community,
And they asked me, what are you doing this summer? So I told them, I'm going on NC Smart Call this year. And they tell me, oh, that's such a good program. You're going to have such a good time. We're really happy for you. And they tell me, you're representing Vancouver when you get over there. And I don't know, I felt pressure on me. And I didn't really know how to handle that. And I came over to, I came to COEL, and talking a lot, the first couple of weeks were really hard for me. I didn't know people coming in. I'm the only one from Vancouver here. And I don't know, it was affecting my learning. I wasn't really showing up to stuff. And then I think it was Rabbi Israeli's speech at the Tzfat Shabbaton, the All In, that really changed stuff for me. Changed everything for me, changed the summer. And I told myself, I have 3 weeks left on this program. I'm gonna be all in to my learning, committing to making friends. I have to change this around. I have to turn my summer around. And it really, like, after that, I really started talking to people more, started showing up to my learning, started making kapusas. And it really helped me. Like I'm so happy. Like it's really turned into one of the best summers of my life. And the environment here, the Madrichim, the rabbis, everyone here, it's an environment that allows me to succeed. And I don't know. I've just truly had one of the best summers of my life. And I know we're not really supposed to say thank you. But I want to say thank you to everyone in this base medrash, because every single person here has affected me in some way this summer. And especially I want to say thank you to my chabura, because of you guys, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to be coming back to Kol next summer.
Yosef Kamenetsky.
After every single one of them, I returned back to my hometown of Woodmere, New York. And I returned to school. And everyone, but people would always ask me after every single year, like, what do you even do? What do you even do over there? Like, why are you going to camp? America, like you all play friends, it's awesome, sure, like but why does it even mean anything to you to be in Israel over the summer, to do whatever you've been doing now? And to be honest, I never really had a good answer. I always found myself troubled to give a response that I was truly happy with. But recently, I've come to the realization that the answer is extremely crucial. And it's something that, thank God, every single one of us who is facing mentors right now, whether they want to admit it or not, has felt at one point or another in the course of summer. The reason as to why this place means so much to me is because It's my chiyus. It's not my life. I'm not here 12 months a year. Although, perhaps I wish I was. But it's the energy, it's the emotion, it's the ruchnius that I use to inject those other 10.5 months of the year. Those experiences that I take with me to shape who I am and how I live my life when I'm not here. However, I'm not unique in this because I've been here for 15 years. Every single person in this room right now is on the same level as me. It doesn't matter if you're here for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or 50 years. Every single person in this room has felt something over the summer that made them realize this is awesome. This is true. This is how I want to live my life. But guys, it's not enough. It's just pushing not enough. It's only 6 weeks. The other 10.5 months are not with you right now. The avoda of every single person in this room is to take that chiyus and apply it to life. Apply it to all those struggles that every single one of us goes through during the course of our year, wherever we may be. We have to take even that small moment, that one or two fleeting seconds of inspiration, and channel that, charge it, harness it, and refer back to it time and time again throughout the course of the year, and make sure that it doesn't get lost.
As Asher mentioned today, Asher Stein, I should say, There's a danger that comes along with davening on the Kol El. That is sometimes we get swept up in the momentum that we forget when we get back home that not everybody's in the same place. And we should heed his warning that when we become chazen to make sure that we're using tunes that people know. But as I mentioned earlier in the summer, davening here is really special. Feeling this base medrash is really something else. And you want to talk about chiyus. There was a lot of chiyus for me. But at those moments when I wanted to daydream around the base medrash, to look around and see so many of you pouring out your hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we want to talk about tefillah being chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that tefillah is not only a conversation, but it's a joining, a connecting. So this place was a mecca of godliness. Question is, what do we do? What do we do when we're not in the space medrash? So I personally, Ani Mamin, I know that a lot of what you experienced here was real, and I know that you'll go back to wherever it is that you're going to. And if your body might be somewhere else, but I know that your heart and your mind and your tefillah will always be in the Beis Medrash here in Beit Meir. But if you're wondering where you're holding in the Chibur, we're guaranteed one thing. That Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yiminecha. That Hashem is our shadow. If we want to know if He's listening, so Hashem reacts in whatever way that we show the lead. A shadow doesn't do his own movements. A shadow reflects things that we're doing. And if we open up our hearts to connect to Hashem, be'emes, so we're guaranteed that Hashem will respond in the same way. And the beginning of that parak of Tehillim is a tefillah that we've said often. And maybe we'll take the next few minutes. Esoyenai elohari me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Hashem, osei shemayim v'aretz, v'osei shemayim v'aretz will be with you no matter where you are in the aretz. Yaakov Gottlieb.
This is it. Summer's coming to an end. I'm sure we're all getting packed up, getting ready for the flight, getting ready to see our families. I'm also packing up, getting ready for my 20-minute ride home to see my family, who I've seen most days in the summer. But I just wanted to share with you something I thought about midway through the summer. Summer started off, and we all, I think in the 10th grade, we all getting used to, you know, the whole environment, Beit Meir, Israel, it's hot, you know, the amazing food, incredible dorms, but the process, you know, we're going to make it through. And, amazing trips, fall. Then we had the trip up north. The trip up north, I spent a couple days at home. When I was at home, I spent the day pretty much on most of my really spent spending their summers waking up late, eating, watching movies, and going back to sleep. But then it dawned on me that I miss Kola. You know, it was more than a feeling, like, I need to be on Kola. I need to get back there. Like, and then I realized that this is just a taste of what we're gonna have till next summer when we're all back. Like, all these amazing moments, the amazing Madrigim, the amazing Rebbe, and all the guys, all here, the complete best. And I really think that the way to spend our last night and our last day is cherishing these moments. As our believers were saying, they all think about our best moments of the summer. Tonight will be the best moment of your summer. Tomorrow at the Kota. We still have time. And I think that's how, hopefully, tonight, through the rest of the Kota, and tomorrow on our last day, think of that.
Mikey Pearl.
Summer after Death Bridge, Kola wasn't on the map for me. Summer after 11th grade, I was thinking about coming on Kola, but I thought after going to La Vie as a camper for 7 years, that would be a good idea to work there. Let's just say that was one of the worst decisions I ever made. My girlfriend Harry called me after Sukkot. And he said, we're going on Kola this summer. And I said, okay, let's go. So I decided that Kola would be the best move for me to make. So after I made that decision, people came up to me and said, why would you go to Israel for the summer? You're going for the year. It's a terrible idea. You should be home, chilling with your friends. And I said, those people don't clap regardless of this program. It took me first 2 nights to understand how amazing this program was. I saw people here during Night Seder pounding, learning, and then I saw people after Night Seder pounding when it was optional. They didn't need to be here, but they wanted to be here. This is when I knew this is the environment I wanted to be in. Don't wait until you're about to go to Israel for the year to start turning it on. I wish I started this process earlier. You guys are at a huge advantage. It's not only a 6-week program. The fire needs to continue throughout the year and even next summer. You have to come together with the great Zebra and look to make each other grow. Like I experienced this summer with my amazing CITs. We should be so set to continue to push each other to take these 6 special weeks into the next 12 months.
Shabbos together with you guys has been nothing short of amazing. We had, if you remember back to the first week, the first time that many of you had the chance to fall in love with Rabbi Berg and Rabbi Schneider, who both urged us with messages that are so relevant to us tonight about being honest with ourselves and looking inside ourselves, taking off the masks to figure out who we really are and what's really important to us. To have Chazanim like we had, really amazing, Madrichim, and of course Rabbi Kamenetsky, who leads Tefillah in such a way that sometimes even get lost in their own davening and forget that they're the Chazan, as they show us what's the real way to daven. And to be personalities like Rabbi Lehman today, and to have Zmiros in the Beis Medrash, like in the dining room, like I said, right from the first week, that first Friday night, with that Tish and with the Zmiros, right away we knew that you guys were something really holy. And as we talked about, the Shabbos is an opportunity for us to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in addition to all the other moments that we're going to hold on to Kol Hayom, maybe there's one Shabbos moment that we could hold on to as well. As Rabbi Kamenetsky spoke about last Friday night, about the greatness and the beauty and the importance of Shabbos. What's going to be next Friday night? What's going to be next Shabbos? Was the level of Kedusha that we reached, is that just a dream? Was that just fleeting moments? Or is these Shabbatot that we got to spend together, those building blocks, for us to define and to create and to strengthen our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yid Shabbos this summer was special. Remember, Rabbi Benavid spoke about how sometimes we look at the calendar and we open it up and we say, is this a good calendar or a hard calendar? So in so many ways, this was a great calendar. Because the first Shabbos is always special. Last Shabbos was Tisha B'Av, and this Shabbos is Nachamu. And then we had the right in the heart of the summer, the King of Shabbos is in the holy city of Tzfat. And what a Shabbos that was. We got to meet people that we've never met before and hear things that we've never heard before, learn about different aspects of our religion that we never knew before. Great tours, great speakers, Yonah Akiva and Rabbi Mervis at the Tisch, speaking about that struggle that we all have about figuring out who we want to be. And certainly for me, one of the highlights of the programming summer was that tish at Friday night in the Breslov Shul. Of course, some of us might have felt that there was very little gas in the tank, and others of us believed that there was still more to go. But sitting there in that beautiful shul, under that beautiful chandelier with that unique roof, in a room that is saturated with people pouring out their hearts in genuine tefillah, to have our voices added to that symphony was very special. And the song that stands out for me from that night is also a tefillah. That in this world that is so challenging, that Hashem should help us with a Yirat Shemayim, that our children should grow up to be tzaddikim, and through that we will be zocha to always be able to celebrate Shabbos in the real way. The greatness of Tzfat and what Tzfat represents, as we heard that Shabbos of the four holy cities, Tzfat is wind. Yerushalayim is fire, Tiferi is water, Chevron is sand, dirt, and Tzfat is wind. And if you put a combination of any of those two together, fire and water always have a battle. Sometimes water puts out fire, and sometimes fire puts out water. And sometimes fire is put out by sand, sometimes fire is able to dominate sand. Water and sand makes a mixture that neither of them are identifiable by themselves. The only one that goes unaffected by anything else, by any of the other elements, is only wind. Wind affects fire. Fire does not affect wind. Wind affects water. Water does not affect wind. Wind blows sand, and sand does not affect wind. Because there's so much more to us than what we could see. And perhaps that is the strongest part of who we could be. Ari Eisen.
At the beginning of 10th grade, everyone always asked me, what was I going to do this summer? And I always thought that, like, Cola was an option, but, like, I didn't think I was going to go. And, like, people that went on previous years, like Asher or the second-year people yelling cats, they're like, you should really go. You'll love it. It's made for you. And I always, like, pushed off what they said, to be honest. And on the fall of NCSY Central League Chapeau, I thought, like, Elliot Tansman said, like, you're going on Cola. And I was like, okay, Elliot, like, are you going to force me to go? He was like, no, you're going to realize you want to go. And honestly, like, I can't, like, barely even said don't say thank you, but, like, this summer's been amazing. It's the best summer I've ever had. The fall, the learning, the Faburas, everyone in here. It wouldn't be if Elliot Tansman didn't tell me that I was going on Cola, and I want to say thank you, and this has been the best summer I've ever had.
Jakey Friedman.
For me personally, going on Cola wasn't the hardest decision I've ever had to make. I spoke to some people about it, and I really couldn't find one person that didn't like it. So Cola started, and I'm just trying to go flow, find out cheermen, leagues, having a good time, but not really taking it all in until we went to the spot for Shabbos. And I remember we were sitting in the dining room, and I was looking straight out the window, looking over the mountains, and looking at the zeros. I'm looking around, hearing the laughter, seeing my really good friends all around me, and I realized, and I asked myself, like, 3 weeks of Cola, why didn't I ever just take it in for a second? That was the first time I really realized I have to really take advantage of it, really realize what I have. Around 2 weeks later, we went on the Gedolim tour, and I remember when we went to Rav Mordechai Zerafi, said, sometimes we just have to ask ourselves, what are we doing in this world? What's our purpose? And when I heard that, I was thinking, like, okay, how often am I actually going to do that? And then I was trying to think of an answer, and it was very difficult. I really couldn't think of an answer. Then Tisha B'Av came, and still trying to think of the answer, but I really couldn't. To be honest, I still don't really have the answer. But whatever the answer is, I know I'm going to try to make the most of it. And especially in the moment right now, when I'm singing around all my really good friends, I'm just trying to take in this moment. And sometimes we just have to stop and think how lucky we are. We're in Israel right now. You have an awesome Rebbe, awesome friends, awesome Ashkenazim. And I think it's really important just to stop and think for a second how lucky you are.
Shimon Mogioros.
Growing up in a somewhat smaller community of Lower Merion, Pennsylvania, in a definite smaller school than most of you attend, I didn't know much about Cola coming in. But from the people that talked to me about it and convinced me to go on it, I heard all great things. Some stressed learning, some stressed the ball, and some stressed Tehillim. And I said to myself, those are all really things that I really enjoy. So why not give it a shot? When I got to Cola, I had a little bit of a hard time, like, to find my footing. Things just weren't, like, going into place. I came in the first day, and I don't know if you guys noticed, I was the first kid to be dehydrated, and it wasn't all that great. But then as weeks started to go on, I started to get into a flow. And as I was in this flow, something happened that really changed the outlook that I had on the summer. As many of you may know, about a week and a half ago, I was playing ball, and just a really bad accident happened, and I really badly injured my left arm. And as I was riding to Tehran, I was just thinking to myself, like, I don't know how I'm going to go the rest of the summer like this. Like, maybe I should go home. I don't really know what to do. And after the procedure, I wake up, and I look at my phone, and I see all these different texts from first-year guys, second-year guys, junior madrichim, sports staff, madrichim, everybody trying to text me and say, like, get better. And then right after that, I thought, like, okay, there's no way that I can go home after this. Right after my dad called me and said, do you want to come home? I said, no way. And as I was sitting in my bed in Tehran, half awake, one point really hit me that I didn't expect from Kola. And that was the sense of family. I think that it's not really stressed enough with regards to this program. And as I stand before you tonight, each and every one of you, I can't imagine, I'm about to go home to my real family in approximately like 23 hours or something. And I can't imagine life being the same without my new family.
As Jakey said, and then Tisha B'Av came. We're sitting on the floor in the same base medrash. A little bit of a different setting, but still the same floor. Coming off a powerful Shabbos, to be able to hear perspectives of Chorban from Rabbi Sobolovsky and Rav Tversky. Of course, said by the tone that we had from Rav Shechter earlier in the summer. And then to hear our friends speak about tragedy that befell us over the course of the year. That even if Tisha B'Av and the Beis HaMikdash might not be something that pulls at our heartstrings, but at least there are things that occurred, not at least, unfortunately, sadly, there are things that occurred over the course of our year, of our own Chorban, of our own brothers and sisters, of people that we could relate to, that lives were forever changed. And to get up in the morning and have a kinos led by Madrichim and Rabbeim, and a very powerful alternate program capped off by the Kumzitz of the world. To be at the Makom HaMikdash and to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about how lacking we are in the necessity of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. It would be awesome if everybody came back next summer. It would be even more awesome if Tisha B'Av wasn't a day of mourning. And if there's ever a way to make that happen, I am sure that the many accomplishments that we have over the course of the summer, those are the bricks that can allow that to turn from a hope to a reality. Marcia Strauss.
What's your favorite part of that camp? And I didn't know what to say. I thought to myself for a second, and I said everything. From everything from my cheer and my producers to my co-championship win, everything is amazing. I think every single person comes in, every single person on this field game, every single person in this team comes into camp with a mindset of, I want to grow spiritually, as did I. And one of the things I want to grow spiritually in is was learning Torah. Thank God I do very, very spiritual learning Torah. I want to be able to learn Torah, not because I had to, but I wanted to. I want to be able, let's say there's a game on Sunday night, I want to be able to go home, go up to my room and just learn instead of watching the game. Thank God, I really think I did. So as camp is coming to an end, I think everybody had the best summer of their entire life, just like I did. But in years ahead, everybody will be back next summer, not for the best summer, not for the best summer rather, but for the greatest summer rather.
The MVP, Adam Arvich.
All these amazing kids. not the coolest guy, or people think you're not the coolest guy, but you're different. That makes you cool. That makes you awesome. Because everyone here inspires me, and everyone here is different. Some people might be cool, some people might be great at basketball, some people might be able to juggle, you can hit a slap shot, whatever. Everyone here is just so amazing, you know? So I hope everyone could go back to their friends and inspire them.
Noah Pomerantz.
The first couple of days here, I was very overwhelmed. There was a lot of different people that I've never met before. I'm from LA, and there's not that many people that came from LA that year. And I didn't know where I was going to fit in. There were so many people that were like right away, right off the bat, able to learn. I was not one of those guys. And so I thought, wow, there's so much learning. I don't know how to do this. And the first few days went by really very, very slowly. But one night, I laid in bed and I thought, why don't I, as Rabbi Dereshefsky said, get drenched. I should go all in and give it all I got. So when we heard the speeches in the beginning about how we should take advantage of the extra learning, I started off thinking, that's not me. I wouldn't do that. I'm too cool for that. But then as the summer went on, instead of being the one that was laughing at that, I was the one going out of my way to try to set up an extra Caruso so that I could go there. And I went out of my comfort zone, and I tried to learn more, I tried to meet new people. And this year, I sat on the bench. I was the only 10th grader on the team, and I tried to learn from the older kids above me. And my coach this year, when I came to the camp, he told me that over this summer, I should also work on being a leader. So I thought a leader is just someone that they go out and they play and they have a certain mentality on the court, and that's what a leader is. But they're obeying here, and the Montreal Canadiens have shown me that being a leader does not just stay on the basketball court by a certain mentality. Everyone here is a leader. Everyone here can go back, and you're not just an ambassador for NCSY, you're an ambassador for a chef. And you should go out and you should show other people that it's a good thing to do. You can have a balance. You can go play basketball. You can go on to win, and you can learn and have a great summer. And that's what I took.
Everybody here has affected everybody else. I hope that you guys realize how much you've impacted other people and how much lays ahead that you still can be impacting, as we've heard so many times tonight. The same way that we were the center of that Kumsitz and everybody was looking to us. So too, no matter where you go, no matter who you are, even if you're the only guy in Vancouver, there's something that we could contribute. We saw it this summer a few times. The bus heads and TJJ and Jolt and Sulam, everybody who came to visit, they said that they're guys who maybe haven't experienced something like a Kollel or something even close to a Kollel. Those buses from TJJ, what kind of experience do they have in a yeshiva or in a Torah setting? But to come to a place like this and see the participants of the Kollel loving what they're doing inspired them incredibly. The Chesed Day had response that we've never seen before. Those who went to the old age homes and to the packing commented that not only was it beneficial to the people that you were dealing with, how many lives that you touched there, especially those who learned Russian, the new language, but the way that you did it, that really carried the day. And how many people on the Moshav has said, you've been on this campus for 16 years, and we've never had a group that have been so gracious and so helpful and so respectful as you guys have been. You have this power together, and you have this power as an individual to change the world, to change people's lives. If Sinas Chinam was what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it's that Ahavas Chinam that you guys can be the leaders of, that on this Motzei Shabbos Nachamu, that's what could bring us the greatest Nechama of rebuilt Yerushalayim. just saying, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, we're coming to an end. If you want to know how we feel about you guys, JM in the AM doesn't come to a Beis Medrash for free. People pay money. If they feel that they have a diamond that they want to share with the world, so they bring them into a place like our Beis Medrash to share with everybody else the same way that you guys are about to share with everybody else the unbelievably special things that were going on here. When somebody donates a Torah in honor of both his parents. So the reason why you give a Torah is because the Torah that's read and the Torah that's learned is a zechus for those who are nifter. And the parents are the most special things that we have. So to donate a Torah and bring it to our Beis Medrash is a tribute to what we in the National Office and David Kotler think about what you were able to accomplish. Ephraim Tiger.
So before the summer, someone asked me, what are you doing? And I said to them, I am in Nicola. And they said back to me, why would you do something like that? Something that you could do at home, you could learn, you could support at home. Why would you go on an option where you can go tour the land? And I really didn't have an answer, and I still don't have an answer. But then, I didn't have an answer because I just didn't, I don't know. But now, I don't have an answer because I realized that that's not a valid question. It's not a valid statement. You can't get the experience we got here. You can't get that back where you came from. Everything, you have to take a step back like David. Take a step back and just think about everything you got here. All the amazing staff members. The Nachman was just a few years ago. We're here exactly like we are. They know what we're going through. They know our situation. They've been through it, and they've been successful. Always turn to them, and you should see what they did, and they can tell you, they can lead you in the right direction. And also, like, call it a six-week program, right? But you really can't think of it like that. It has to be something that you take to heart, and when you go back, it shouldn't be something that, oh, yeah, I did call it, you know? It was a good experience. It's something that you should take back, and every time you're in some situation, you see someone struggling, you think about what you gained here. And use that to influence everyone back at home.
Jonathan Melman.
In 6 unforgettable weeks, when I see a call, so much stuff I've heard, unbelievable. Tulin, I can say, you're unbelievable. You've been out of Canyon. Unbelievable. You've been in Georgia last week, especially, and so much more. Not just that, all me personally, I don't think I would believe myself if I say go somewhere and learn it. I didn't think I could do it, but to sit down and try hard and learn, something to do something like that if I didn't say the learning I've done and the stuff and everything that I've taken so much from this stuff and that I can apply in this coming year as learning
Mayor Jacoby.
People ask me why I came back to second year Koa. That's not a valid question. I didn't really choose, well, how I ended up coming back to Koa. And the answer to that is that God pushed me here. Why he pushed me here is because he loves me. Why he loves me, I don't know. But the first thing that happened is I remember in February I get a call from a good friend of mine. He called me, says, "Mayor, there's three spots left. There's three spots left in the call. It's packed. You gotta sign them now." I don't know. Should I go? I want to go and step it up. Like, you know, like last summer was fun, but you know, besides that, like that was it. It was just fun. So I'm like, you know what? You're going. I'm going. Let's go. Let's do it together. About 2 weeks or 3 weeks before camp, the same friend who called me, tells me he's not going back on call. He's going to a different camp. He's going to make things for now. But I'm like, are you serious? And I'm like, how could this happen? Come on. All right, fine. So I get here on the first day, and I remember being like, I have some guys coming back from last year. I'm with, but like, I'm building back my friends from last summer. We're here. I had like a big hole in me. Like, I just didn't know what was going to happen. So I didn't know if the grader was going to be like, I'm ready to land. Not very inspirational, not very mean. This morning I woke up to shoot around a little bit, and this guy is walking. He sees Katie walks over to him and says, "Hey, can I shoot around?" "Yeah, sure. What's your name?" He's like, "My name's Adam Oden." "Yeah, it's nice to meet you." And I mean, and I was the first friend I met. From Adam I met Caleb, and from Caleb I met Noah, from Noah I met Daniel, and on all these people that I met. And like, and that was it. I made a couple of friends, and then something really started going. I started getting into it, and I started changing. I started seeing things in a different way. I started seeing what was real and what was just a distraction. And then, of course, my biggest distraction probably is basketball. And basketball was taken away from me. I got hurt in like the second game, I think. And then a couple days later, the Advil ran out, and I couldn't keep playing. And then I had to stop for 2 weeks, and I couldn't play ball. And most, my mom and my dad were very scared. They're like, "Mayor, are you okay?" Like, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm totally fine. But, so I can't play ball, so what?" I mean, this summer is so much more, it means so much more to me than just basketball. It means so much more to me than just shooting, scoring, or whatever, not scoring, or playing bad, playing well. I mean, I was having an experience that I couldn't explain. The only way I can explain it, I guess, is by saying that I woke up. It's the place where I started to wake up. I started to feel things. I started to what my life is about. It's not about basketball. It's not about that girl that I'm looking at. It's not about, you know, being the coolest guy or wearing the coolest clothes. It's about being real and striving for something bigger than ourselves. When I go home, yeah, I know I have what I gained here. But somebody asked me tonight, actually, said, "Are you scared to go home?" "I'm scared." Like, "No, I'm not scared." Because the summer, it was like a training program. The summer was, we trained hard, we learned, we pushed ourselves to limits we never thought we could reach. But the game starts when you get back. When it's hard to do it, when it's hard to wear it, it's hard to be nice to somebody who's just mean to you. Because here it's like it's easy. This is an alternate reality. You're home, it's hard. But I'm ready because I worked on myself, I worked on my game, I worked on my craft. That when I get home, when I get on the game, I'm gonna succeed. And I hope everybody succeeds in the way we do.
I knew that you guys were in for a great summer that first Friday night. Because after years of having the privilege of partnering with Rabbi Benevitz on this program. So he has an uncanny ability to call things long before they happen. And once he said the word bang, as part of the statement of there are some things that you know are going to be a sure bet, there's no trick in saying believe land or in saying bang before or saying bang after it happens. The trick is to be able to call it long before it happens. And once he said that, I knew that there was very little that could derail this train. And sure enough, 6 weeks later, as we're looking back on unbelievable accomplishments, both individually and as our family. Never stop believing in that bang. Never stop believing that there's more that you could do. That there's more that you could grow and there's more that you could change. In the same way that if we try to dream back 6 weeks ago to what we were and whether we thought that where we are now is even possible. So too, moving forward, oh, we think that me getting into the highest year is not possible. We think me being the top guy in the highest year is not possible. I think that being on time to davening this coming week when we're on vacation and nobody's really watching us, Madrichim aren't waking up, that's not possible. I don't think that I can make a chavrusa, not with the Madrich, and certainly not with another friend in the Kolel, or a friend who's not even on the Kolel. I can't do that. I can't make brachos and bench, or as Meir just said, I can't wear tzitzis. All those things that you think that you can't do, just think bang. You've already done the impossible. So what makes you say that you can't do the impossible this coming week, this coming month, this coming year, and for the rest of our lives? And as we close, as I said, on behalf of Rabbi Israeli and Rabbi Benovitz, Rabbi Kamenetsky, myself, and the rest of the staff, the Rebbeim and the Madrichim, I want to thank you for waking up every day and inspiring us and changing our lives. And we anxiously look forward to seeing how great you could become. As we head into the month of Elul, Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, once you know that Hashem is on your team, and more than that, He's part of you, the same way that Hashem is infinite, we and what we're capable of doing is also infinite.
why I fucking do it.
No, politicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
get no extra effective here.
Inshallah, Yim was shut up.